let the testimony time go a little long this evening, and I'm glad I did. The testimonies fit right in with the message this evening. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. It's good to see Mike here this evening. Glad he can be with us. Mike and all the Mikes. Good to see you all here this evening. James chapter 2, verse 14. We'll read verses 14 through 18. We'll look at verses 14 through 26 this evening. Talking about a faith that functions. Verse 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Father, the opportunity to look into your word, the opportunity to sing praises to you, to give testimony of how you're working in our lives, how you're answering prayer. Father, we thank you for all those things. Father, tonight again, we pray for Larry McGee and his care, that you would just guide in that, guide Chantel as she's helping to seek for a place for his rehabilitation. We pray for Sue McMillan, her needs. Father, I pray you give her strength and grace as she deals with the chemo that she has to endure. We pray for Heather, as she's also going through cancer treatment. We pray for the Vanderhoofs as they're recovering from COVID and they need to have a good test result so they can go back to the field. Father, I pray that you would answer their prayer according to your will. Again, we pray for David Howell, that you would guide in his care, and we thank you for these friends that you have given him that help in that. Father, I just pray that you continue to guide in each one of our lives, but as we look at this subject tonight of faith that functions, and how that our faith is demonstrated by our works, help us understand how we can be a testimony for you and a light to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. So suppose you and your family are on a trip this Christmas to see family members. As you travel, you encounter a bad snowstorm, which is very likely if you're going anywhere in Iowa or through Iowa. But without warning, you find yourself in this snowstorm, and the further you go, the worse it gets. And before you know it, you find yourself in whiteout conditions, unable to barely even see the front of your own vehicle, let alone the road in front of you. Before you know it, you're in a snowdrift on the side of the road with no way to get out. All your efforts to get back on the road prove unsuccessful, and you're left to endure the storm in your vehicle. After several hours, you see the storm clearing, but you don't see any other cars or trucks on the road. And so as you get out to look around, you see a farmhouse just across the field, so you set off to get help. Once you reach the house, you're greeted by a friendly man who listens as you explain your plight. With all sincerity, he looks at you and says, "I'm sorry to hear that you're in such a terrible dilemma, but I hope that you're able to stay warm, that you have enough to eat. Hopefully someone will come along soon to help you." With that, he says goodbye and closes the door, leaving you alone on the doorstep in bewilderment. Do you think he really cared?
No.
Why? Because if he really cared, he would do whatever he could to help you get out of the ditch and get on your way at the very least. His words of sincerity contradict his actions. Tonight I want to talk about faith that functions. The first part we want to look at here in verses 14 through 20 is faith without works. And James is encouraging the believers here to have an outward evidence of their inward commitment to Christ. And he continues that thought here in verse 14. He says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" And then he goes down to let's keep reading through verse 20 because I'm looking at my notes, looking at the passage, but if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James is saying, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a man says to you, I'm a Christian, there's no evidence of that in his life, we're going to have a difficult time believing he's a true believer. James is in no way saying that works are necessary to be a Christian. See, he's talking to believers here. He's talking to those who have already trusted Christ as their Savior through faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. What he is emphasizing here is that our faith must show itself by our works. These works that James is talking about are not just referring to teaching Sunday school, giving in the offering, showing up for church work days, etc. It also refers to how we live our lives. For example, if someone were to come up to me and tell me that they were a Christian, yet they listen to worldly music, they're involved in worldly entertainment, they didn't have a regular time of Bible reading, did not attend a Bible preaching church, they used foul language, and they drank alcohol and smoked, I have a very hard time believing them. Now, any of those things cannot save a person, and none of them can take away a person's salvation. But they're contradictory evidence to a person's faith. If you were to go to court, and your attorney gets up and paints a word picture of you as an outstanding citizen, a loving member of your family, and a hard worker, but the prosecutor gets up and shows video evidence of you robbing a convenience store, then he calls one of your family to the stand, and they give testimony of your anger and ungodly behavior in the home, then he calls your employer to testify, and they tell you how you are continually late to work, you do a substandard job, you complain about the working conditions, and you spread discord among the other employees. He says there's too much evidence against you for the judge to rule in your favor. James says here in verse 17, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. There's no life. There's no evidence of your faith if there's no works to back it up. Look at verse 18. He gives a hypothetical situation here. He says, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee thy faith by my works. Which do you think is easier to demonstrate? Faith with works is easier to demonstrate. If a person says they are a Christian, but there are no works to show it, all we have is their word. We can't see into their heart, and they say, well, I'm a Christian. I can take their word for it, but that's all I have. But if someone says they are a Christian, but they live a life that shows it, they give substance to what they're saying. In verses 19 and 20, he says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. James makes an interesting point here. He says, just to say I believe there is one God doesn't mean that you're a Christian. Look at Mark chapter 1 with me. Mark chapter 1, verse 24. How could James say something like that? Well, the Bible shows us. Mark 1, 24. It says, let me read verse 23. There was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried and saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. Turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 7. Again, there's a man here, the maniac of Gadara. And Jesus was coming to him, and the maniac cried in verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And that's the demons within this man who are speaking. What do they say? Thou Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? What does James say in verse 19? The devils also believe and tremble. So to say, I believe there is a God, well, that's good that you do. But the devils also believe there's a God. And they believe, they know God's, what God's plan is in His Word. They know that their doom is sealed. And what does it say? They tremble when they think of God. They tremble at the thought of Him, but it has not made any difference in them. Our faith must bring us to a point of accepting Christ as our Savior and lead us to a holy life. Faith that does not produce good works is useless. Good works are a criteria for genuine faith. They show us that we have truly believed. They show others that we have truly believed in Christ as our Savior. So faith without works is dead. There's no evidence. There's no life there. But he goes in verses 21 to 26, says faith with works does give evidence of our faith. James chapter 2, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. See, James gives further support for his teaching that our faith should be seen by our works. And the first example here is Abraham. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. See, God had given Abraham a promise, and he repeats it in chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. You want to read that. But look at Abraham's response in chapter 15, verse 6. After God had rehearsed the promise to Abraham again, Abraham said, or in verse 6 it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. How do we know Abraham believed God? Well, look at back at chapter 12, verse 4. After God had given him these promises, what did Abraham do? He sit there and question God. Are you sure you're going to do this, God? How can I know you're going to do this, God? What does he do? Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Is that an evidence of his faith? Sure it is. Look at chapter 13. Verses 16 through 18. Abraham and Lot had just separated, and God told Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to give you all the land you can see. In chapter 13, verse 16, he says, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. What does Abraham do? Abraham removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. He obeyed. He simply believed that God was going to keep his word, and he went as God had told him to go. Probably the greatest evidence of Abraham's faith is in chapter 22. We talked about this recently. Chapter 22, verse 3, God had already told Abraham, I want you to give Isaac, your son, back to me as an offering, as a sacrifice. It says in chapter 22, verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. He obeyed right away. He didn't question God. He didn't say, well, he said, and Abraham simply went. Look at verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Again, another evidence of his faith. And then again in verse 8, as he's talking to Isaac. And Isaac says, but Dad, where's the offering? Dad, we're missing something here. Abraham says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So Abraham, the evidence of his faith was his obedience, following the commands that God had given him. And Abraham believed God, though the circumstances pointed to the contrary, and his obedience was evident of his faith. And it says here in back in James chapter 2, in verse 21, it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? So does that mean he was saved by works? No. The word justified there means to render, to show, or regard as just or innocent. What it means is his works gave evidence. His works showed that he truly did believe. So his works justified or gave legitimacy to his faith. And then we see in Joshua chapter 2, another example. While you're turning there, I'll read the verses in James. It says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 says, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Jump down to verse 4. The woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. How did Rahab demonstrate her faith? By receiving the spies, by hiding them, but also by hanging a scarlet cord out of the window. And then by staying in her house when the Israelites took the city. James points out here that Rahab's faith was justified or given legitimacy when she received the spies and sent them out another way. What would happen if these spies would have come to Rahab's house and she turned them away or turned them in? Anything she might have said about believing the God of Israel would be useless. It's just like, there's no evidence that you believe when you're willing to give up those who are part of that nation. But James concludes here in verse 26, he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The word for spirit here is breath. And if a person is not breathing, we conclude that they're dead. If a person is not living a life that glorifies God, a life that shows evidence of their faith, we may conclude that they don't have a genuine faith. But what kind of works should be part of our lives? What works are going to show to others that we are true believers? And I want to go through these passages here. I'll try not to go too quickly, but the first one most of us probably know, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light of the gospel shines through our works, and God is glorified. Let me illustrate this as I was thinking about this afternoon as I was studying this again. So I'm a lamp salesman. I'm going to come to your door, and I'm going to sell you a living room lamp. So I come in, I knock on your door, you answer the door, and I said, I've got a beautiful lamp I'd like to sell you. This lamp will sit beautifully on your end table. It's embossed with gold. It has a beautiful shade that'll cast beautiful light across your living room. It accepts a bulb that'll turn three brightnesses of light. People will just rave about this lamp. And so you go and you put the lamp on the table to show them. And they say, well, can I see it on? Oh, it doesn't work. It just looks really nice. It doesn't work, though. Are you going to sell any lamps? Not likely. Okay? If our light doesn't shine, we can look as nice as we want, but if our light doesn't shine, for number one, people aren't going to believe that our faith is genuine. Number two, God's not going to be glorified. And so Christ says here in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So our good works are the light of the gospel to other people to see Christ in our lives. Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Again, a familiar verse, 34 and 35. Jesus is talking here again. John 13, 34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And so our love for others does what? It demonstrates our faith. It demonstrates that we are a true believer in Jesus Christ, and we want to love people as he loves them. Not for our own benefit, but that God would be glorified. What kind of works did Jesus do? Because he says here, "Love as I have loved you." What kind of works did Jesus do? Well, Mark 10:45 says, "Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." He didn't come so that others would serve him. He came that he might serve others, that he might minister to others. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Verses 34 to 40. Matthew 25, verse 34 says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done unto me." Good works done for God's sake through Jesus Christ are here noticed as marking the character of believers made holy by the Spirit of Christ, as the effects of grace bestowed on those who do them. It doesn't say that the works bring us to salvation. It's saying our salvation evidences itself through our works. And others see that. And so in application, what's going to be the best evidence of our faith to others, whether to believers or unbelievers? It's works that are done for God and others that glorify or make God bigger and turn the focus to God. So James says, back in James chapter 2, "What did the prophet, my brethren, though man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" So he challenges us here. Have works that demonstrate your faith. That's why I appreciate the testimonies tonight of people who had opportunities to minister to others. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you all demonstrate Christ in your lives, and I'm thankful for that. But let's keep it up. Let's keep doing that. And see the Lord work and see the Lord draw others to himself through that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these truths. Thank you for the challenge that we have here to demonstrate our faith through our works. And not works that would just be something to make us look better, but works that would glorify you. Works that would minister to others. Works that would show a Christ-like love to others. Works that would seek to point others to you so that they can be growing and living as they should. Father, thank you for what you will do in each one of our lives and what you teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.